Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we could be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. Lord, we're thankful for you, just for who you are. So often, Lord, when we pray, we get together and we begin to just give you a list of things we want you to do for us. And Lord, I'm afraid often we just forget just to be thankful for who you are. Lord, you are the great I am, the almighty God, the Lord God Jehovah, and there is none other beside you. And we pause this morning and we worship and we praise you as King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I am. And we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. We're thankful, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to this earth to bear, Lord, our sins on the cross. And Lord, he was crucified and buried, and now he's risen again, and even at the right hand of the Father now. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you send to us to comfort us, and yet at the same time to convict us of our sins, to lead us and guide us and direct us. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. May this day, Lord, be spent by all of us in giving you honor and glory and causing others to have a reason to praise the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Help us to do that this day, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm in a series, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. I am going through at our church the entire book of Proverbs, have been at it for some time now, going verse by verse through the book of Proverbs, looking for identifying biblical principles for practical living. Obviously, we're not using and looking at every single verse as far as bringing the principle out, but I am personally, and when I get to a verse that I want to use as a principle, and then on Wednesday nights we take time to study those, do a lot of cross-referencing through the scriptures, supporting that biblical principle, and then the encouragement is simply this, to put it into practice. You know, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of religion out there. Religion is something that people do on the weekends, and then they shut it off after they get home, after wherever they've been on the weekend trip to the church or whatever, some building, and then they don't live it, and they don't even think about it the rest of the week. That's religion. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, we do not have a religion, so to speak. We have a personal relationship and a fellowship with the God of this world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the great I am, the Creator. And it is a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it never ends, fellowship and a relationship with our God. And so we understand the terminology religion. But as a whole, at least I would say this, I sort of reject the idea of religion based upon the general secular definition of it, and I promote the relationship and the fellowship with the person Jesus Christ, and I'm so glad that he is my Lord and my Savior this morning. Well, as we're going through the book of Proverbs, we're looking for principles, and we are in chapter 16, as I said earlier. We're looking at verse number 9, and that Bible verse tells us this, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now, when you look at that verse, the principle may not be something that sort of jumps off the page at you, but if you do a little bit of thinking and meditating and pondering, you can learn a truth that ought to be applied in your life and my life. The Bible said, "A man's heart deviseth his way." Now, the one that talks about the heart, obviously, it's not talking about that muscle that pushes the blood all throughout our body. Thank God for that, but that's not what it's talking about. The word heart there has the idea. It's a word that's widely, I guess, understood to be the feelings of man. It's the root of man's intellect. It's the root of man's decision-making skills. It's what makes him who he is. It's not a muscle in his chest, but it is that part of man that makes him what he is. It's what he, why he likes what he likes. It's why he does what he does. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts and murders. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the heart is the seat of man's emotions. It's often the seat of his decision-making skills, or sometimes lack thereof. And so that's the heart. So a man's heart deviseth his way. That word deviseth means it idea to plait or to weave, to fabricate, to plot. To contrive. So man's heart, from the seat of man's inward beings, his what facilitates his desires, his thoughts, his motives, that devises or that plots or that fabricates or that sort of lays out his way, how he's going to live his life. He comes up with an idea. He has desires, aspirations, all these things, and he begins to try to unfold his life in a sequence of events that he thinks is best for him. But the Bible says, but in reality, it is God who is the one who's really directing his steps. Though man may have a lot of plans, it is really God who is the one who's orchestrating and pulling the strings of an individual's life in the course of the life that they take. And so when we look at that, there's a principle which basically comes down to simply this. It is God that sets up the affairs of our life. It is God who is directing our steps. And as such, we're compelled then, though we in our own heart would like to devise our own way, like to plan the own course of a life, we need to be willing to surrender to God's leading and guiding and direction in our life. In other words, though we may have dreams and aspirations of accomplishing something, being something, maybe some career we want to pursue, in reality is we need to make sure that we have a heart who is in tune with the Lord's leading and guided and willing to allow him to direct our lives and as we live them out. There's a good example of this found in the book of Acts chapter 16. It's speaking of Paul, and the Bible says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Messaia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Messaia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the Spirit. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And so they're there. God had clearly led them. In chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. In verse 7, it says, after they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They wanted to go to Asia. They wanted to go to Bithynia, but God said, no, I don't want you to go there. He wanted them in Macedonia and eventually gets them there. And by the way, and we won't look at it this morning, but if you take time and read chapter 16, you'll see at the very end of that, that is that famous, well-known chapter of the Philippian jailer. And Paul and they had been placed in prison, and eventually the Philippian jailer was in charge of them at that point, was going to kill himself, thinking they had escaped. Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. The long story short is that Philippian jailer and his family, they get saved. Now, Paul wanted to go into Asia. God said no. Paul wanted to go into Bithynia. God said no. And then God led him into Macedonia. You see, Paul's heart was devising his way. He had a plan. He had a sort of an idea what he wanted to do, where he wanted to go. But God had a different plan. And that's exactly what God, I think, wants to teach us here, your life and my life. You may have a plan, but God has perhaps a different plan. Now, sometimes God's plan is our plan, and our plan is his. I understand that. But sometimes God has a different course of action for us, and it is our job. It is our duty. It is our responsibility to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to surrender my will to yours and allow you to lead me. Now, this is a biblical principle for practical living. I don't think God is against anybody trying to have some plans, some ideas, set a course of action for his or her life. But at the same time, though you may have something planned out in your life, God may interrupt that plan. And the question that begs to be asked this morning is, God able to redirect your life and my life without us fighting and resisting against that so much? And so God wants to lead us and guide us. It is the Lord directs our steps. In essence, what that's really saying is it is the Lord who sets us up. Though we have plans and aspirations and all those things, it is God who's really leading and guiding and directing as we surrender and follow his will. And so this morning, the idea, the word that comes to mind is trust, trusting God. Paul had to trust God. It wasn't his will to go to Asia. Paul had to trust God. It wasn't his will for him to go into Bithynia. He had to trust God. It was his will to go into Macedonia, and of course he does. Now, it's interesting to note that as he goes there, not everything worked well after that. There was some suffering to be had because of going in that direction. So that reminds us, sometimes the path that God leads us in is not always the path of ease. it's not always the path of comfort. So often today, we make a decision, we begin to pursue it, we've asked the Lord to give us wisdom, we embark upon some plan, and then we meet up with obstacles and hindrances, and we conclude immediately, well, it must not be God's will because I'm not happy. Must not be God's will because I'm miserable. Must not be God's will because I'm facing a big difficulty. You know, on the contrary, it's just the opposite. So often, that is exactly what we could and should expect. Because when God leads us, he's not leading us down the road of the path of least resistance. He's not leading us down a road of, you know, roses and comfort and ease. He's often leading us down a road that many times has difficulties and trials, but it is a road that he has planned for us, and he wants to use us to our fullest capacity in which he can. And so this morning I would ask all of us, and myself included, are we willing to let this biblical principle that God is the one who directs my steps, am I willing and am I presently practicing surrender to God in my life as he leads and guides and directs? And as he leads and as I follow, and when I face that obstacle, do I get bitter? Do I get mad? Or do I say, God, let me learn what it is you're trying to teach me. Help me to stay faithful, Lord. Help me to find strength in my weakness. Father, as I lean upon you and trust you, God, help me through this. And so this is a biblical principle that so often many of us just don't follow. We don't allow God to lead us and guide us. We want everything to be our way, and when something sort of goes wrong, we get frustrated, we get mad, we get bitter. So often, like the children of Israel, we grumble and complain. But you know, I think God's looking for some people who will live by this principle. God, yes, I have dreams and aspirations. Yes, I have goals. But you know, Lord, if you ever need to change that, and that's your will, Lord, you have my permission to change my plans and redirect me in a course that's different from the one that I've chosen for myself. And Lord, I'll trust you through that and in that. That's a good way to live. And by the way, you'll have a lot less problem if you live that way than you will if you choose not to. Paul understood that God's direction for his life was often quite different from what he had in mind, but God always was right. And what a great principle that is. We're in chapter 16, continuing. The next verse that I have identified as a biblical principle for practical living is all the way down to verse 16. We've skipped several verses there. But in verse 16 it says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? You know, so often this world, particularly we Americans, we are just eaten up with this idea, I've got to get everything I can in life. I got to have a good salary, good job. I got to have money. I've got to have things. And boy, I tell you what, in our society in America particularly, we have become so self-absorbed, so self-sufficient, so wrapped up in having things and having things right now that it is just really, it is just basically starving us in America from common sense. It really is. We've lost the ability, seemingly, to be able to have a logical, reasonable understanding of what life's all about. We're so distorted in America about what life's about. We think it's about everything about luxury and pleasure and having fun and having vacations and having all the new things and all the new digital things, and we're just absorbed with ourselves. We've lost the insight that there's something far more important than wealth and things, and that's wisdom. An interesting verse in our Bible is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 12. The Bible says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Notice that phrase, but excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Money or wealth doesn't give life to them that have it, but wisdom does. You see, often in America particularly, and I'm sure the whole world, we've got our priorities all messed up, all backwards. We ought to be pursuing wisdom because the Bible teaches us of all things to be desired, there's nothing to be compared to it. It is the principal thing, the number one, the primary thing. And that's what we ought to be getting. That's the primary thing that you and I ought to be pursuing is wisdom. And so God says it's the principal thing. In all things that could be desired, and boy, that's a pretty heavy list there, there's none of those things are to be compared to having and gaining wisdom. It is the most important thing we need, and yet so often in our society today, it is the last thing that any times or any pursuit is given to. We spend copious amounts of energy and effort trying to get things, get more money, get more possessions, and so little time, sometimes no time, is spent in trying to gain wisdom, which is the most important thing for us. You know, there's a lot to be said about this idea about wisdom and the importance and the significance of it in our lives. Time won't allow to go into it any further, but there's a principle here. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? God is teaching us very simply, you ought to invest your time and your effort in trying to gain wisdom and understanding. Invest your life in that and not in getting things. You'll be far better off having obtained wisdom than you will than having obtained great riches. A very good principle. May God help us to see the wisdom in it, and may he help us to live by it. I thank you for listening today. I trust the Lord to give you a great day, and I thank you again. You have a great day.